listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today, Ron Chmielis, columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper, and Matt Szafranski, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
The new fiscal year started this week, and Massachusetts doesn't have a budget for it, making it the only state that does not have one in place. There is a stopgap spending plan for the time being, but there's no clear indication when the final budget will be completed. Ron, late budgets are certainly nothing new at all on Beacon Hill. Is this a big deal?
It is to me, because it's become a habit. I think it's a big deal because it's nothing new on Beacon Hill. This seems to be routine business for them, but it's bad business. There's really no reason that I can see for this to be a repeated problem. This is not an unusual circumstance. They just don't get it done, and that leaves a bad taste, at least to me.
Why?
Because I think good business means you get it done on time. You got a dominant one party in the legislature that should speed the process. You got a governor who's not unreasonable about these things. It's not set up for a lot of collision course last minute politics, and yet they can't get it done on time.
Matt, there's been a leadership upheaval in the Senate, and there's been some inexperience on the House side in terms of the top budget negotiator. Are those factors?
No, I don't think so. I think that what you have here is probably a lot more of like a behind the scenes just negotiating between the dominant powers in the House and the Senate. I will say that I expect we'll probably get something very soon, because you know there's going to be some line item vetoes, and the legislature has to vote to override those before the end of July, or they lose their chance to do so.
Also on Beacon Hill, there's a movement to strike an old law which is not enforced, banning abortion in Massachusetts. The law hasn't meant anything in recent years due to some Supreme Court decisions affirming abortion. However, with the possibility of a shift on the U.S. Supreme Court, some state lawmakers want to get rid of the law in case the legality of abortion ends up going back to the states. Matt, this has already passed the Senate. It's now up to the House and perhaps Governor Charlie Baker. Will this be something the legislature takes care of before the end of the session?
Probably, but at the same time, it's not like they have to do it this year. The likelihood of a Supreme Court decision that would overturn Roe versus Wade, I mean, even if you assume they would at their first possible opportunity, probably isn't going to come for at least another year and a half, so they probably could do it early next year. That also assumes the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts agrees with the U.S. Supreme Court and doesn't rule that there's a right to abortion under the state constitution. So I think they probably will do it because it's good politics for them. I don't know that if they don't, it's the end of the world for them either.
Ron, on the other hand, some Massachusetts abortion rights opponents say this is nothing more than posturing. What do you think?
I think this is nothing more than posturing. And I think it is because, first of all, we just got to the point that they haven't done the business that they have to do. This is an unenforceable law. There's a lot of laws like this in the books that go way, way back. And it would be nice to get rid of them. I think they're way ahead of themselves, as Matt indicated, on this whole Supreme Court thing. We don't even know who the nominee is, let alone overturning Roe versus Wade. We're 10 steps away from that if we ever get to that. For them to spend any time on this, an unenforceable law that nobody even knew about, I think it's a waste of time.
Rather quietly, July 1st came and went, and retail sales of marijuana were not reality as Massachusetts regulators had hoped. That leaves the illegal market in a good position for the time being. Street values are expected to drop as legal pot sales ramp up, but one Franklin County resident who wanted to remain anonymous told us she'd rather deal with the black market.
Quality, human connection, provenance, I know where it comes from, price. I think it's a really Yankee part of me that likes to do business over a handshake.
Ron, what do you think about that view?
Well, I wondered when the legislature decided on the higher tax. And don't forget, the referendum said a 12% tax, and they decided on a 20% tax. I don't know if that's a factor. I mean, the whole point of this to me seemed to be to take it off the black market. And if that's not going to be the case, then the whole reasoning behind why this is a good thing for Massachusetts is at the very least diluted. But I can't say I'm surprised. If people are used to doing things one way, they're not going to change overnight.
Matt?
Well, I think that, you know, I understand where this anonymous speaker is coming from, but you're going to start, once these things finally start opening up en masse, especially if we reach a point where the feds finally lay off these state regulators, you're going to see a lot of people who don't necessarily want to go to places that might seem shifty. Not all dealers are that, but some of them certainly are. And then there's also the fact that people have to cycle in and out of dealers over the course of time anyway, because circumstances change, people get arrested, and certainly people who are dealing illegally are still going to face the force of the law. So I think it's just a transition period for now, at least.
Ron, the Cannabis Control Commission has offered priority consideration and even some technical assistance for people with past drug convictions looking to get into that legal market, but there are other hurdles to this, it seems like.
Well, there's a lot of hurdles, and they're working through them. I think Matt mentioned a transitional period. It's taking a lot longer, and it's a lot more complicated than I think a lot of people, when they went into the ballot box in 2016, really bargained for. We're going to get there, but it's going to take a lot more time. I think people are becoming impatient. But each of these hurdles has to be addressed. I think the Cannabis Commission is right to do it the right way.
Matt, what about the investment hurdle if you're looking to get into this business, having to come up with a lot of capital, a lot of money to actually get going in the legal market? Is that a big impediment, do you think?
Yes and no. I mean, the money is almost certainly there because being a very wealthy state, we have a lot of pools that potentially can tap into it. The question is, are you connected to the people who have those pools of money? So I think if the Cannabis Control Commission is looking to try to help people who've had these past drug issues, they need to act as a mediator between where the money is, which is going to be available one way or the other, and people who otherwise might not have a connection to those people.
And finally this week, let's talk a little baseball. The Red Sox have been as hot as the weather so far this season. They are 30 games over 500 as we record this, but only have a one-game lead over the Yankees. So, Ron, is this going to be a tight race all the way to the finish line, or are one of these teams going to blink?
No, I don't think these teams are going to blink. They're both two of the premier teams in baseball. There's about four or five teams that stand above the rest, and these are two of them, and as I'm sure you know, with the playoff situation, the one-game wild card for the team that doesn't win, which I happen to like. I love this race. This race matters. They'll both make the playoffs, but they will make them in different ways. So they're going to play it to the end. I don't see any reason to think that won't happen.
Of course, whoever wins the American League East goes on to the division series. Assumably, the second place team in that division would go to the one-game playoff and then would need to win to go in. And, of course, the Red Sox don't have real good luck in one-game playoffs,
no.
Thinking about 40 years ago this October.
No, but that was 40 years ago. I wouldn't mind Chris Sale out there in a one-game playoff. I would mind David Price in a one-game playoff. But the fact is, a lot of people think that's an unfair setup for baseball. I like it because I think it really raises up the stakes. And I think once you get to October, the stakes should be high.
Matt, Red Sox, Yankees this summer get you excited?
Western Mass is a weird area because there's a divide between Yankees and Red Sox fans. I used to work in Kenmore Square in Boston, so I was very close to it. So by default, I'm a Red Sox fan. I've been to Red Sox games. I want them to win, but, you know, it's not a huge deal for me either.
All right, Matt Szafranski of Western Mass Politics and Insight, and Ron Chmielewicz with the Springfield Republican. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist and NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.